Hey everyone, I hope everybody's doing well. Y'all already know what time it is. It's Wisdom the Healer coming to you live and direct. Y'all know when I come, I always come with a bang. Y'all know me. I hope y'all enjoy the last two episodes that I posted. I'm going to continue with the same motion, pretty much having people come in here and, you know, express how they were raised, whether they were raised without parents, whether they were raised without a mom, without a dad, or even raised with parents. And, you know, it affected their life because probably their relationship was toxic, or probably, you know, children still feel abandonment, you know, with the parents being together. But, you know, that's going to be another topic for another day. So today we do have another guest in the show. She was born and raised in the Bronx, New York. Call her Fancy Nancy. What's up, baby?
Hey, what's up, Wisdom? How you doing? What's up?
I am doing fine. Oh, my God. You know, I had to put you on this show only because, like, I love how you are. I see that you're doing your thing. I see that you're doing your photography thing. I also see how you are on Clubhouse when you talk to people. You impact people, you know. And I definitely had to have you in the show. And pretty much the reason why I have you in the show is because you told me that you did not grow up with a dad.
That's correct.
And I just want to know, of course, you know, I'm going to be asking you some questions. I want to know, like, how did you feel, you know, growing up without a father? Like, how was that process for you?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for having me here, boo. You know, I fuck with you. I love you. But, okay, growing up without a dad, it was pretty, still is, difficult for me. Growing up, it was just me and my mom. I'm the only child, and my mom, she did the best that she could to raise me by herself, and she made that shit look easy, like, for real. I didn't, like, yeah, we struggled, and I know that we were struggling in a way, but my mom, for the most part, made sure that she did what she, you know, what she could do in order to raise me and get me everything that I needed. Plus, I guess, like, my aunts and uncles did sometimes help out with me as well. But yeah, like, I have family around me and I felt loved, you know. I don't think that I was ever, I guess, spoiled, because, you know, like, usually people say if you're the only child, you were spoiled. But I never really felt like that because, again, my mom, she worked hard, but it's not like she could get me every little thing that she could. It was just, you know, basic needs, but also nice things. So I really, really appreciate her for that. But as far as not having a dad, I mean, in the beginning, he was around, like, he was there up until I was about 6 years old. And I was living in Soundview at first, Soundview area of the Bronx. And and then we moved to Mott Haven. And that's kind of like when things just, I wasn't really like seeing my dad as much anymore. He wasn't really around. And so, of course, that impacted me. And I was just kind of like, oh, like, what's going on? And he would like disappear, I guess, for like a few years or a few months and stuff. Then he'll, you know, come back around and he'll start coming to the house, knocking on the door or calling or whatever. And, yeah, at first, you know, we'll see. My mom would, she would allow me to see him. My mom never actually, I guess, she never kind of, like, got in the way of me seeing my father, basically. She wasn't like that. So I really respect that, you know, from her as well. But, yeah, like, at first, we'll interact, you know, with my dad and stuff like that, but then he'll disappear. Then he'll come back. And it's just kind of like, when I was younger, I was already kind of mature for my age already. So I start seeing and noticing this. My dad is around. Then he's not. Then he's around again. So it's just kind of like, I started not to like it at all. because I don't, it's just like, you're either gonna be in my life or you're not. Like, that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? Anybody would be annoyed by that. It's like, he's picking and choosing when he wants to be in my life. And I'm only his third child. So, like, I'm the only child on my mom's side, but on my dad's side, I'm, I guess, the third of five children. Yeah. And so, even with that, I always felt as though he more so was in their lives as opposed to mine. So then there's this whole thing of, like, what's wrong with me? Why is he not in my life? What, like, what did I... Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. It's just kind of like, it's more internal. It's just like, I'll just start thinking, and it's like, damn, like, but what's wrong with me? Like, you know, is it maybe the fact that he's not with my mom anymore, and he doesn't want to deal with her, so he wants to take that out on me, in a sense? Like what's going on here? And even on top of that, just me having siblings on, you know, on my father's side, I didn't even really care to get to know them. But eventually I did, because sometimes my dad, he would come and he brought over my brother, my older brother, and my sister. And yeah, so I was able to meet them, stuff like that. But again, I never really cared to have a relationship with them. It was just kind of like, all right, whatever, you know? Yeah. But I would say when it really started to impact me was in high school. But hold on, let me even like backtrack though. I actually ended up telling my mom around, I want to say 12 years old, that I didn't want anything to do with my father.
Because you were tired of seeing that.
Yeah, yeah. So and I was the one who told her that.
And so as a kid, I'm going to ask you, not even as a kid, but is it okay I can ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Are you single right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to know, do you think like not being able to have a relationship with your dad and not like, you know, able to, how can I say, because you know how fathers always have that talk with their daughters as far as men or anything like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think like your relationships got impacted because of the lack of relationship that you have with your father?
For sure. I feel as though, you know, in the beginning, like while I was, you know, when I was a teenager, of course, I noticed it more, I guess. I guess I would say looking back on it, I know now why I acted the way that I did. You know, like in the moment, it's like you don't really know. You don't know like what you're doing, but you're just doing it. But looking back on it, it's like, okay, now I understand why I was doing that. But it's like me not having love from my father and stuff, I began to, as a teenager, look for it in all the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. So I would involve myself with guys, like I'll, you know, get to know a guy and whatnot, and we'll probably like start to get to know each other and stuff like that, and then I'll just end up just getting into relationships with them. Not relationships, but if you know what I mean, like
Entanglements.
Yeah. Right. I'll get into an entanglement with them, and then after that I wouldn't hear from them anymore. Wow. And that was like, yeah, and that was a constant thing, and I just never knew why, but that's what I was doing. Around 16, yes, from 16 to about 17, I just kept doing that, and it was just like, eventually, and mind you, like my friends would tell me like, Nancy, you gotta chill, stuff like that, and I would just be like, I mean, I'm like, you can't tell me what to do, like I'm grown, like yeah. I'm a teenager, like I'm gonna do what the fuck I'm gonna do, mm-hmm. and what. So but then eventually it was just like, it hit me one time when, you know, a guy that I was, I guess, dealing with, he did the same thing, but it was like more, he was just a straight up asshole about it, you know, and made me feel like shit, you know, and just like threw it in my face that I allowed him to, like, you know,
do those things
with, yeah. So I was just like, damn, like, what the hell am I doing? What did I get myself into? Why am I doing this? And I just stopped. And I was just like, no, like, I have to have more self-respect, self-love. That's when I really started to, like, try to tap into those things. And mind you, I'm only a teenager. And it's not like my mom, like, completely, you know, was the type to... I guess I couldn't really like tell, like come to my mom with these things because I felt like she would beat my ass or something like that. So I never felt like I could come to her about these things. But just through like different conversations with my mom, I'll get a sense of like, you know, she would tell me like, yeah, you gotta, I guess, do right by yourself and don't allow men to manipulate you. Like so, little things like that. So, you know, like I just had to teach myself those things at the end of the day. Because again, I didn't want to tell anybody anything. So I was like, you know what? Let me try to gain more confidence. Let me try to have more respect for myself by not dealing with asshole guys. Let me try to like become just like love myself more.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So around what age you started pretty much like, I'm going to say purging. You started like purging the negative energy, purging, you know, any man that come your way, and you set your morals, you set your standards. At what age you started doing that?
I would say like fully, because I was like 18 when I really kind of like started that journey, because that shit is not easy and it's not quick. Yeah. But I was, so it definitely took time, and it progressed. And it still is, even, and mind you, I'm 26 years old now, but yeah, I feel like it's a never, it's a never ending thing, I feel like. But for sure, like, I'd say it started when I was, you know, 18, going on 19, like, I just kept on with that journey, like, you know, even while having, you know, situations with guys and getting to know them and stuff, it would just kind of be like a trial and error. And I'll just be like, all right, like, whatever. I have to focus on myself. Like, what can I do better or stuff like that? I guess, like, within myself. So, I would say about 18 going on 19. And I would say, like, I finally kind of knew what I wanted for real, like, in a relationship and stuff around, what, like, 21?
21?
Which might sound crazy. Yeah, 21. Yeah, it was like that's when I really felt like, yeah, like I was already confident, like in myself. I even was like wearing things that maybe before I wouldn't have worn because I thought that I was, you know, ugly and not good looking and stuff like that. But at 21, you know, I was just like, nah, can't nobody tell me shit.
Yes. Like, I'm a bad queen.
Right, exactly. I'm a queen, and if you, I guess, like, fuck me over and you hurt me in any type of way, I mean, at the end of the day, it's your loss. It's not mine, you know, because I know what I can bring to the table. I know the type of woman I am. I know my heart. Like, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I express myself the way that I do, and it just seems like, you know, it kind of scares men away. But that's...
You're strong. Right.
But it's like, that's not really my problem. So it's like, until I find a man who's like ready for that and who can take that on, then I gotta just do me.
Y'all heard that, man. She's single. Y'all heard that. Right?
Okay.
So, you know, that's very important because, you know, a lot of people still battle loving yourself. And you know I went through that battle as well. You know, when my parents separated, I was so attached to my dad that I was upset that he left, that whole thing stopped, you know. But also,
right,
I wasn't too upset because I had to understand that their relationship really wasn't, you know, it wasn't prospering, you know. And my parents did get married and everything, so I know.
Right.
I know that feeling and that stage that you went through, because I also went through a stage where I was looking for attention in the wrong places.
Uh-huh.
That's what made me write that poem, Time for Me to Wait, because
right,
I was really doing too much. A lot of my relationships that I've been in, I initiated it. You know, the man didn't initiate it, I did.
Right.
So it's like, it didn't end up how it's supposed to end up because, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't grow as friends. We didn't have a friendship. It's more like, oh, you fine. Like, Let me talk to you real quick, see what you about.
Yeah,
you
know exactly. What I'm saying?
Like, exactly. Like, I didn't give a man a chance. You know, like, for example, my baby father, I got with my baby father at a certain age, you know, and we had a kid the year after, and we broke up the year after that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and when I saw him, you know, I remember I was with my friend. We was in the car. I saw him walking. Me and my friend was going to the gym. This was in Atlanta. And I seen him walking, and me and her looking at him. He's like, damn, we almost crashed the car, girl. We like, damn. So he noticed it. And he came inside the gym. And he was like, what y'all ladies on, you know, because he from Macon, Georgia. So he got a strong country accent. So you know, he's straight from Macon. So it's like, so I was like, damn, but I felt like I was a little too young for him. So I tried to pass him to my friend. But it seemed like they wasn't talking. So I asked her. I was like, yo, you remember the guy that we almost crashed the car? She was like, yeah, I remember him. I was like, you still got his number? She's like, yeah. I was like, did y'all talk? She was like, yeah, we talked a little, but he not my type. I'm like, well, he my type. So pass me that number real quick.
wisdom said pass that.
That's a fact.
Pass that.
Wait, you see, so in that moment, see, I'm going to tell you this whole thing, though, right? Because in that moment, if he really wanted to talk, we lived in the same complex. So if he really wanted to talk to me and he saw me, he would have initiated it if he really wanted to get there with me. But it was more like me. So as I reached out to him, he was still dealing with a girl that he was dealing with. I think he put a restraining order on her or something. And she's from Brooklyn. Oh, Lord. I was like, damn.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
I was like,
of course.
Don't think I'm like that.
of course. She just had to be from Brooklyn.
You feel me? So, you know, she's from Brooklyn. They having a toxic relationship. I come in between this shit and I stopped that whole thing.
Like, oh, my God.
You feel what I'm saying? And it wasn't my place to do that. But I decided to do that because I was extremely attracted to him. He was independent. You know what I'm saying? And now look, now that I got him, right? Check this. I'm going to cut this story short. Now that I got him and we got together, you know, I ended up getting pregnant. I planned her. I told him, hey, like, I want a child. I want to know how it is to raise a child, you know, and break the cycle of how I was raised.
Right.
And I told him that. I was like, yo, I want a child. He gave it to me. So he gave it to me. He took care of me. He was the only man in my life that took care of me, proposed to me, took me out, everything. But the thing about that, right, even though I got all that, I wasn't happy. Why I wasn't happy? Because he was a cheater. He was a cheater. I was going to school. I wasn't working. You know what I'm saying? And he was working. And he was doing that. He was going to Georgia State University. It was a lot on him. And I know he was overwhelmed. But also, he didn't communicate with me like that. He was like a macho man. So he'd take care of everything in the bills. And then he would track me down everywhere I go. I had a tracking device in my fucking car. Yo, it was crazy. Our relationship was crazy. You hear me? He was controlling. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, wisdom.
So it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, when that happened, don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. That's when I started acting up. So we both acting up now. Then after that, what really had me break up with him was he said he told his one young lady that the reason why he with me is because he didn't want to put me on child support. Now, he didn't want me to put him on child support. You know, and that was the icing on the cake. That's when I ended up moving to New York.
Oh, okay.
And at that point, I was 18. So as I moved to New York, girl, I ain't give myself no break. At 19, I got with somebody that was 10 years older than me. Cause what? I felt lonely. I wanted attention. I still feel like, you know, daddy not around too much.
Yeah.
I want a guy next to me. I want flesh next to me. I moved on to someone else. And he was totally opposite from my baby father. Now that one, he taught me knowledge in the streets, like a lot of stuff that I didn't know about. But him, he was not as, no disrespect, babe, I love you to death always. But him, he didn't have too much ambition.
Okay.
You know, and mm-hmm. me and him ended up being together for 9 years.
Right.
You know, and it didn't really go any, like, I kind of, like, we helped each other in a way, but I prospered more than him.
Mm.
So we broke up, you know, we broke up. And as we broke up, girl, you thought I gave myself a break? Okay. We broke up last summer. You thought, girl, when I tell you, I went on to a guy from Guyana.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I'm saying? So this is, so talking about this, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know what you mean. So it took the guy from Guyana, right? It took for him to have me realize I'm doing too much.
Right.
I'm 28 now. I'm doing too much. Like, what am I doing to myself? I need to
wait. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I need to wait. And all these relationships, I initiated it. I didn't even give no time for friendship.
Right. Because that's what's important. Like, you got to start a friendship first.
You see?
Absolutely.
And it took for me, it took years for me to realize that. So now I'm single. Now I'm noticing so much because I purged since October of 2020 and now January 2021, I've been purging. You know what I'm saying? And I got closer to God. I'm not really a religious person, but I got more spiritual. Started respecting myself more. Started having more morals. Started having more standards because I got to love myself. I got a daughter that I'm raising. I can't be showing her a fast life. But
exactly.
The thing about my child, I talk to her. I tell her. I even told her my trauma. You know,
wow.
And at 10, she knows. She goes like, "Mommy, you know, I love you and I love how you raised me well, Mommy," she said. You say she and I taught her how to cook breakfast. My mother never taught me how to cook. She taught me how to cook when I got with a man. See what I'm saying? So That's the cycle that I broke with my daughter. And my daughter know how to cook, and she
absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So it's you're not alone, Nancy. And I know there's a lot of women out there right now that's listening to this episode that can relate.
Yeah, definitely. Like and it still gets hard. Like sometimes, you know, because for example, it's like. There'll be moments where, because like things got better, I guess for me, like emotionally, when it comes to the fact that I don't have my father in my life, you know, it's like there'll be moments randomly where maybe I don't know, I'll watch a show, and you know, like it has any like something to do with my situation, and I'll start crying because I can relate to it, or I'll be like outside in the street, and I could like see. A daughter with her dad, and I'll start crying like right on the spot, and it's just like, and it's still, I mean, the last time it happened actually was like probably last year, and like mind you, when it happened it was like, what the fuck, like I thought I was over this shit, but you're never over it. It's just more so like a sense of like I dealt with it and I'm doing better, you know what I mean, as opposed to before, because before I was like more emotional is what I mean, like super super emotional about it, and then eventually it got better, like I wasn't as emotional. Yeah. And so it's like then there came a point where I wasn't at all until then last year when like all of a sudden it just came out like again. So it's just like you never, yeah, like it's little things like that. And I'm sure maybe like if I was to like see something now, like I don't know, like that pertains to that reminds me of that situation, I'll probably get emotional again. Like you just never know. It's a never ending thing. But one thing that I said that I want to accomplish, or at least start to accomplish this year, is find a way to fully forgive my dad. Like that's always been a thing for me, and it's just like I would try and try and try and try these past couple of years, and I just can't really like get to it, because in my head it's like even when I tell the story I still get angry. It's like, yeah, like that motherfucker's not in my life. And like people would ask me like, did he ever take you out to, you know, just to go out to eat, for example, you know, normal shit that you do with your dad or your parents in general. No, I don't really know much about my dad. I besides the fact that he lives in Harlem, he drives a car, he has other kids, he works a lot, and he's from Honduras, like, obviously, you know what I mean? But besides that, it's like, we never, like, went out to eat together. We never did, like, any basic shit to where, like, I could really tell you what my dad is like, what he likes, what he doesn't like, things like that. You know what I mean? So my thing is, too, is, like, I don't ever, and, like, people probably ask me, like, do you love your father? No, I don't. How do you love someone when you barely know them?
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's like, and even I start to think about, all right, how am I gonna feel? Cause that time is gonna come. That's everybody's time is gonna come where they leave this earth. And I think about that too. When my dad leaves this earth, am I gonna be impacted by it? And I think that I am, only because it's like, damn, like, I wish you would have, like, been there for me. But besides that, it's like, all right, I mean, he's gone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of, and that might sound like cold hearted, but
no, you got all right to feel how you feel. Cause I mean, yeah. Some people, of course, that are very, how can I say, strict when it comes to loving your parents. Yeah, they kind of can judge this and say, oh my God, love thy parents, doesn't matter what they did. But a lot of people that are understanding their emotions and the mental, or where you at this point on how you felt emotionally, then yes, you have, it's not harsh. It's not harsh. It's just a reality of how you feel. So it's not even you saying, like, you know, hey, this guy, he, you know, he was in my life, he did all this, and then fuck him. No. He really wasn't in your life. He really wasn't there to speak to you about certain things. You know, it's like, stuff happened to you that you still don't even understand why it happens to you, and you can't even really go to dad and just ask dad, like, you know,
for advice.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, my dad, he always tell me men ain't shit all the time. Anytime I speak to him, he's like, I'm a man. I'm telling you, men ain't shit. I'm like, damn, okay, dad. Like, now I know shit. Yo, because he's like a reflection of what he don't want done to me. That's why he's saying men ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? And he's not gonna come and say, my daughter, I got 10 females lined up. He's not gonna say that to me. But he gonna tell me, like, men ain't shit, because he, in the back of his mind, he thinking about, yo, how my lineup is set up, shit.
Exactly. Like, I'm not very much of a good example myself. So.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But he
shit, honest. At least he warned you. At least he warned you.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. So I know, so this is why I don't even, you know, feel no way of what you're saying or how you feel, because, like, because of that experience. So this is going to lead me to my next question. So
yeah,
did you, as you was growing up and you know, dad wasn't around, did you have any male support? Like, any family members that was a man or even a friend that was a man that kind of, like, helped you emotionally?
No. Helped me emotionally? No. Nope. Wow. Nobody. Like, not even, and it's not like I was ever, like, close to any of my uncles like that. I mean, like, they were good examples, I guess, in a sense, because it's like, from what I see, like, I have an uncle who's always been there, you know, like, for, just like, but for my cousin, I'm saying, I see that he's, you know, serious about his family, and he's there and present, you know, but besides that, no. I don't know, like, in general, I don't know what it's like for, like, a man to just, like, be there for me emotionally, whether it be a friend or family member or whatever. Like, I just haven't had that to where I can go to a man and express my feelings about this and that and the third. I mean, I, like, to that extent, it's, like, more so who I would express myself to is certain guys that I was getting to know. And it's like, even though things wouldn't work out, For some of them like did, you know, like it kind of helped for me to express myself to them and like and them tell me like or like give me advice, you know. But that was just like maybe one or two guys, and I appreciated it, you know. Even though things didn't work out, it's like I at least held on to that, like, you know. So but besides that, no, I didn't really have like a male figure, you know, or father figure or anything. And the thing is, my mom never felt the need to like go and pick up another man after she stopped dealing with my father, because my mom is just not like that.
Yeah, that's how my you mom know? Is too. My mom still mm-hmm. to this day, yo. I want to get a man for my mom though, but.
Yeah, me too. But my mom is not like that. My mom is just. I'm like,
your mom need to meet my mom, because they both gonna have some good tea or some good coffee, some Bustelo or some shit.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
That's when you know, like, that's when you know you can see you see it, you know. Uh-huh. as you was Persian and you practiced that as a teenager, you also seen it through your mom, so that helped you.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And me, I don't stay still. So it's like my mom, she's very conservative, but I just felt like she was a little boring. So it's like I kind of still want to be like that fast life, and I never because it's just like my dad. He always used to just pick up and go. That's just the type of man he was. Pick up and go. Pick up and go. So it's like as a woman, I'm over here thinking that's how life is supposed to be. Pick up and go. Pick up and go. Like, you know, and. No, it's not supposed to be like that. Calm
no.
your fucking ass down. like, sit your ass down. Like, my best friend, Country, Free Country, when I was talking to him yesterday, he told me, he was like, yo, like, because I told him all the things that I'm doing right now and all this other stuff and all this, you know, and he was just like, yo, like, you do more shit than me and I'm a man. That's what he said.
Oh man.
And he was just like, you need to calm, like, you really, he was like, yo sis, like, you need to really calm down, because I don't know if I told you, Nancy, but in the 9-year relationship, I had three miscarriages back to back.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
So you're my last about. Miscarriage I had was 2020.
Wow.
And not even 20, I'm sorry, it wasn't 2020, it was actually the ending of 2019 coming into 2020.
Oh, got you. Wow.
You know, my Country just mentioned it to me. Like, he was just like, yo, you know, you need to slow down, you know. And if you want a family and you want to do stuff, you got to slow down. Because the way how you live your life and you want a family, you want another kid, you can't be moving around like that. And that's really how I've been moving. Even when I was pregnant those three times, I was doing a lot. I was going at King. When I was going to Kingsboro, I was pregnant, you know. And I had a miscarriage, you know. But at Kingsboro, I'm the president of the poetry club. I'm doing these events. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. I'm never home. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
And when I had Sky, I was literally on bed rest. I really couldn't do much. So it's like I understood what my best friend was telling me. Like, you know, you gotta, if you really want. I told him, I was like, I'm at the point in my life right now where I don't want to. Work a 9-to-5, you know.
Right.
Like, I don't want to do that. So it's like I want to prepare myself, because when I move to the city that I'm about to move to, I don't want to be able. I don't want to go out and look for a 9-to-5. I want to continue the business that I started.
Right.
You know, and that's really, now that I'm more focused on that, it's gonna happen. But before, I wasn't as focused because I was too busy chasing men.
Men, exactly, yeah. I can relate to that as well, because, like, that was me, too. It was just kind of like, I'll end up, you or whatever, like, because that's the thing about me, is that one thing I can pride myself on is that I never settled, like, never. Like, I've barely been in relationships like that. It was more so me getting to know a guy, having a situationship, and then something goes wrong, like, nonstop, and then, like, I'll just... It was the same thing with me. I would end up moving on to the next one. Yeah. Move on to the next one or whatever. And, I mean, yes, after like, something doesn't work out, I'll go back to focusing on myself a little bit more. And I still accomplish shit. But I wasn't giving myself enough time either. So it was just kind of like, yeah. So I can definitely relate to that. Definitely.
Yes, Queen. Now that it's time, it is time. I do appreciate you for being on my podcast, and I appreciate you because I know it can be difficult to talk a personal lifestyle or personal, you know, memory that you had, and I do appreciate you for coming in my platform.
Definitely.
I do want to say, Queen, you know, as God is continuing to give you strength and you are continuing to put your crown on and keep it in the center, even though it tilts, you put it right back in the center. Continue to stay focused. Continue to have confidence. And girl, you're going to become the best that you can. And I know you going into the photography world.
Definitely. Yes, ma'am.
I see your pictures. You are looking beautiful. You are radiant. And that right there is going to attract the right people that needs to be next to you.
Absolutely.
You know, and for anybody that wants to reach out to you, you know, have a conversation, a photo shoot, or teach you, I mean, maybe you go out, do some photos or whatever, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so I have a photography, you know, Instagram page for my photography. Like, there you will see all the pictures that I've taken. And there you can just, like, DM me, basically. I am going to also, like, add my email because I know, like, you can do that now. But for sure, like, you can DM me. Like, that's, like, just, like, the easiest one. And I don't know if you can, like, put it up, Wisdom, but I can, like, give it to you, like, my page. And then, like, you'll...
Go ahead and tell the audience now. Because a lot of people, you got to understand, like, this podcast is international and national. Some people don't, wouldn't look at the Instagram post that I have. They're going to listen to the podcast, so you go ahead and let them know where your Instagram page, how they spell it to them.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so my Instagram page is basically Fancy Photos, but it's spelled, so it's FV, so the A upside down, FVNCY FOTOS and a period and an underscore. So that's how I have it, Fancy Photos. Photos, you know, in Spanish, it's photos or whatever. So, I had to come up with that. But yeah, like, that's my Instagram page. Or, like, definitely DM me if you are in the New York area and you want photos, either for an event or photos of like, you know, actually do a photo shoot. Let me know. You know, if you have a clothing line and you want me to take photos, I'm there. Like, so please just let me know. I'm ready to work, and I want to work on my craft. I want to get better and stuff. Like, even though my main career goal is to be a school counselor, I still want to have that on the side, you know, because I've realized that I'm good at it last year during the pandemic. So I'm ready to work.
And would you want to go ahead and provide your email as well?
Yes. My email is Laboriel, my last name, LAB as in boy, ORIEL as in Larry, N as in Nancy, @yahoo.com.
All right. So y'all already know. Y'all go ahead and follow her Instagram. Like I said, Nancy, thank you so much for coming in the platform. I know it was very difficult, you know, to talk about what you spoke about. You know,
all good.
Yes, like, I really appreciate you, Queen. You make sure you keep your head up high and keep that crown on all the time. Also, before we finish this episode, I just want to give a shout out to Ambition the Poet. Y'all make sure y'all follow him on Instagram, Ambition the Poet. Make sure y'all look at his merch. Also check his books out and stuff like that, because he's very awesome at what he do. If y'all didn't listen to the episode, the last two episodes that I have, Ambition the Poet is on there, and he's also my sponsor. So please go ahead and follow him, Ambition the Poet, and follow Fancy Nancy over here. And if y'all trying, oh girl, and if y'all trying to shoot y'all shot, y'all better make sure y'all come educated, because we not doing that bum stuff. We not doing that.
Yeah, we not doing that.
It's 2021. We winning this year, you know?
Exactly. We doing big things. For real. Yes. And thank you again, Wisdom, for, like, allowing me to speak, you know, on your platform, because I just want to, you know, reach out to people, you know, even just through my story. So
yes, you're most welcome, queen. I bet we done changed. I bet some females up in here was like, girl, me too, babe, girl. I went on a man spree last year, girl. I know what's through me, baby.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, it's going to be one of those. It's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Y'all not by yourselves. Trust me when I say it. Ain't nothing wrong with us neither. And whatever we did, you know how they say it. Whatever stays in Vegas, whatever goes in Vegas, stays in Vegas.
Right,
you
period.
You keep that shit 6 feet under. And today is a new day to end in a different way. And tomorrow is another day to end even better.
Absolutely.
That's how
there
we got to
have
stay.
It. Mm-hmm.
Y'all already know this Wisdom the Healer coming to y'all live and direct. Y'all don't got my Instagram. Follow me on Instagram, Wisdom the Healer LLC. I still got my Twitter up, guys, Wisdom the Healer. Don't forget the Z, too, because I got to be different. And like,
right.
And like I said, one smile spreads everywhere.